God. Praise God. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Extend to every generation. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to know a God who loves us more than we know how to love him. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you. Want you to feel at home here at Calvary Gospel Church. If you have an opportunity, we'd encourage you to fill out a connection card. We would like to just let you know how much we appreciate your being with us and sharing this time with us. If you will bring it back to the kiosk or give it to one of the ushers before you leave, you can receive a small gift from Calvary Gospel Church. And if you're visiting online, there's the bit.ly link there on the screen, and you can connect with us in through that means, and we encourage you to do so. We hope you do. Amen. Also, we want to remind everyone of our giving options. You can give online, cgcmadison.org/giving. You can use good old-fashioned snail mail and send your offering in, or you can text to give. The number is there. We ask that you designate your offering as tithes or offering. You can still give to Move the Mission, even though it's officially the fund drive is over. They will still receive your money if you want to give to Move the Missions. Just keep in mind that coming up in October is All Nations Sunday offering, and you want to consider that as well. Amen. And that's, we don't have a designation for that, but I assume it will be ANS. Amen. This Saturday, ladies' bonfire from 8:30 to 10:30. Amen. See Sister Lindsay Simmons for any details on that. And that should be a great time. Hopefully the weather holds out. Isn't it nice to be in the 70s and in the 50s at night? And all that means is winter's coming. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to pray. And we're going to worship the Lord some more. Amen. Let's pray for this service. Let's continue to pray for our pastor who's on vacation. If you have a need this evening, please designate your trust in God by lifting your hand and letting everyone know that you believe that God is going to do a work. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. We know, God, you're everywhere all the time, but we're so grateful that you come and manifest your presence when we gather together in your name. We ask, oh God, in your name, for your blessing on this service, upon every leader in worship, upon the musicians, especially upon Pastor Phil as he brings us your word, oh God. Anoint our ears, anoint our hearts, anoint our minds to receive your word so that we can fulfill it, so we can live it out. We pray, God, for your blessing upon everyone who hears this word online and here in this auditorium. We pray, God, for your blessing upon our pastor and his wife on their vacation, that you would strengthen and encourage them in this time of rest. Let your blessing rest upon them. We ask, oh God, for your continued blessing for the body of Christ and for all of these needs that have been represented here by the lifting of hands. Lord, it seems a trivial thing to do, but we know, oh God, that you are a God that knows our need before we pray. And we ask, oh God, that you would honor this small act of faith by the response of your Spirit and your power, that you may be glorified in all of this. We thank you for it. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your cleansing blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, in all of heaven, what is your name? Our Father, in all of heaven. and Spirit break out. And heaven come down. Oh, Jesus, break our walls down, Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus.
Time tonight, that chorus.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus. Be silent.
Do you believe that?
Jesus, Jesus.
Does he silence fear in your life?
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's call on him right now. Jesus, we call on your name, Jesus. You are our Savior, our Lord, our King, our help, Lord Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be glorified and honored. We thank you, Jesus. Let's just entertain his presence here tonight. We thank you, God. Amen. You feel good in the house? Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. You may be seated. So good to see Willie, Victoria, up from Oklahoma. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. I don't know about you, but we've had some powerful set of messages here at CGC the past week. Amen. I've been stirred and challenged and encouraged and challenged again. Amen. Last Wednesday, who remembers who spoke? Let's start with that. Oh, good. Jessica raised her hand. She remembers. So, besides Jessica, amen, who remembers what she talked about? I heard contend shouted out. Amen. She spoke on the topic of contend, exhorting us to make sure we're active in the faith, not setting down truth, being aware of the voices that try to lead us astray, be focused on God's voice in our life. And then Sunday morning in the teaching session, my brother, he doesn't have a name, my brother Joel, just joking, really encouraged us. Who remembers the title of that message? Fear not. Okay, that's the first part. Then what should we do? All right, now. And then? Press forward. Fear not, look up, press forward. We identified that everything we're seeing in the world is prophesied about in the Bible, and though things get bad, we should look up to Jesus, amen? Be encouraged. Man, I was encouraged walking out of that session and then into our baby dedication service, switching gears, and Pastor Peter did a great job. From little seeds grow mighty trees, amen. And I took out of that one concept, the idea that there's a process. Make sure to do the process. Don't worry about the results and trying to figure everything out and why am I not this or that, but just focus on the process. Know what we know to do. Amen. And I've realized, folks, that tonight is the last night that I can use 12 font. This is getting really small for me. Praise God. I made Pastor Seidel feel really good because he uses 14 already. Amen. So I think I'm only going to go up to 13, though. Amen. Denial. That's a river in Egypt. Some of you have got that. Amen. But it was after these messages that it made sense to me why God laid tonight's Bible study on my mind and heart a few weeks ago, because it kind of all just flows together. Fiona and I had a discussion about our family and the time we're living in, and I walked away from that conversation. She had made a comment, and I give honor to her tonight. She's at home, amen, not feeling well, so pray for her. But I walked away from that conversation with the thought burning in my spirit about needing to be unmovable, unshakable, and how that is what we've got to be in this day and age. And for those who read Scripture, what pops into your mind right away when you hear the word unmovable, unshakable? Any thoughts? The rock. That's right. Matthew 7. So turn to that if you have your Bibles with you. Scroll to that if you're using your phone. Pull it back in memory, Bible quizzers, if that's how you do it. I don't know, is it like a Rolodex in your minds? Bible is like, brrr, ding. Okay. Amen. I never Bible quizzed, so. All right, Matthew, big plug for that. They're coming up on a new season. You'll hear about more of that later. You're welcome, Martha. Matthew 7. Martha, in the book of Martha 7. Oh, man, I'm all out of sorts. Amen. Verse 24 and 25, what someone shouted out. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It was founded on the rock. And we have a promise that if we follow the Scriptures, we're be like that wise man who built the house on the rock. When the storms whipped up around him, the house didn't crumble. It didn't fall apart, didn't blow away. And what were the sayings of mine that we should hear and then do them? It's what was Jesus referring to? And, well, it's all the verses beforehand. And it was These scriptures were given after he said, "I'm coming to a close," there on the mountain that one day. Would you all stand? He had just finished his message. And it was commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount because he was on a mountain and he was giving a sermon. Basic. But it was a Sermon on the Mount, and it starts all the way back in Matthew 5, if you're unfamiliar with it. It goes all the way for three chapters, finishes in Matthew 7. And so tonight, I have to give copyright credit to Jesus himself, because we're simply going to go through his entire sermon and not preach the sermon, but break it down a little bit, group it, and look at it, and find out what will help us not be shaken, not be moved. Before we begin, I want to make mention that we don't have time to take a detailed look into every area that we find in all the scriptures. We could do an entire series breaking each one of these areas down into a single message. So if something sticks out to you, I want to put this out there initially. If something sticks out to you, make note of that scripture. And then go home, read it again, and study it yourself, because there's a lot that can be even fleshed out. I've always said flushed out, and then Brother Seidel corrected me. I guess the word is fleshed out. So thank you, Brother Seidel, for that knowledge. But you can flush it out later, unless you're a plumber, he said. Yeah, that's right. So if it sticks out, make a note of it. Get it fleshed out. And contend for the faith, like Pastor Jessica preached last week. Contend for the faith. That one aspect of that is going back and studying it yourself, figuring out, okay, what are you really trying to say to me? So, because God, I believe, will speak to you one, maybe even just one tiny thing, and that responsibility is now for you to go back and look it up and figure out, okay, God, where are you going with this in my life? So I want to encourage you that. I also want to echo the statement that was made Sunday morning. Joel said that the winds and storms that we're seeing are not going to go away. That's what's talked about in the Bible. We just don't need to fear. And it's no coincidence that none of what we're going to go over tonight involves stopping the storm. It's not about building a wind barrier or a water barrier so that the house doesn't feel the storm or is not affected by the storm. No, the storm will come. The storm will come. Our opening scripture continues on and compares someone who doesn't act upon the scriptures that we're going to go over, and it compares it to a man who builds his house on the sand. And what happens? Yeah, that house falls over and is destroyed. And so both folks build something. Both folks face the storm, winds and rain, and ultimately it's what they built on that mattered, what they built on. And so tonight we're going to talk about constructing a solid foundation. Constructing a solid foundation. Amen. So let's start in Matthew 5, all the way back. And Jesus begins his sermon with what is known as the Beatitudes. What are these? They're from a micro level. They're a proclamation of blessings upon a specific attitude or state of being for the Christian. But if we take a step back and look at it from a macro viewpoint, this is the opening statement of Jesus' sermon. If you've ever constructed a presentation, those in school and college, etc., you got your opening, the body, and then the conclusion. And so this echoes the ending of his sermon in a general sense. There are certain behaviors, certain actions that will result in stability, a solid foundation, ultimately a great reward of heaven. So let's read through these scriptures quickly, starting in verse 2. It says, "Then he opened his mouth," this is Jesus, "taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And it's interesting that these attitudes or states of being are all what in the world's eyes may be considered an inferior state of being. Meek. You don't think of someone like it just, oh yeah, I'm taking the world by storm when you say meek. Mourning, peacemaker, poor in spirit, merciful. These are truly born out of having a relationship with Jesus. To truly be merciful, you need to have experienced God's mercy in your life and realize and understand it. And so, and same thing, meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. And these things are born out of that relationship with Jesus. They're not natural mindsets, but ones that come from time with our Savior. And so two things for constructing that solid foundation found in this these groups of scriptures. Number one, it's vitally important to have a relationship with Jesus. And number two, we need to have the understanding that there are, in fact, certain behaviors, actions, attitude that will result in a better foundation, a stronger foundation. We can't do what we want to do, act like we want to act, and expect our lives to be unwavering, stable, and impervious to a storm. There are things that we must do. Moving on to the next group of scriptures, starting in verse 13. Through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Having an understanding of our true position in relations to others in the world is vitally important. Why? Because it puts life into proper perspective and helps us construct that good, solid foundation. If we're raging about the world and what's going on in the world, we're no different than anyone else. And so when someone comes into our lives, we're just one of those who has a strong opinion, one side or the other. On one matter or the other. And really, consequently, won't be salt and light to them. Because why? We're no different than anyone else. And so they may rage with us because they approve and agree, or they may just, whatever, not going to listen to that person. Joel spoke to this on Sunday. We've got to love people and reach them. A famous princess once said, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. Well, they're neighbors and coworkers who don't even know that we're their only hope. But really, we are. We've got to be salt. We've got to be light. We've got to have a focus on that's our position at our job. Yes, God blesses us and supplies our need with finances and so we can take care of our homes and stuff like that. But ultimately, we should be a salt in our workplace. Our neighbors, you know, it's interesting. We have some phenomenal neighbors next door. Stepped in at a moment's notice this past Friday for us. They're such awesome people. But honestly, besides them and a couple other acquaintances, like neighborhoods now are segregated. You don't really know your neighbors anymore, like back in the day when I was a kid and didn't pay any attention to it. But my word, we could be that salt and light and go out. If we see someone moving in, be that salt and light. How? Make some Martha cookies. If you can't make cookies, ask Martha. Pay her. What is it now? Don't tell me the price. But go ask her the price and bless her while you bless your neighbors and take them some cookies. Do something. Be that salt and light. Why? Because everyone's raging these days. What a prime opportunity for us to be salt and light in this world. When everyone's just crazy and we're just unmovable, unshakable, why are you so peaceful? Well, let me tell you. They should have that, you know, when you get salted like dark chocolate, the best. You get that like hint of that like sea salt. It's like, woo, that just took it to another level here. And people in our lives should be like that. Like, what is, they may think, what is wrong with this person? But truly, it is what is with this person? Why are they different? Why have I not heard anything crazy from their mouth about what's going on? And they're just living life and doing their thing. And it's that salt. It's that light. If our focus is on our position as relations to others, our focus will be off the trivial and our foundation will be constructed on the rock. Amen. Moving on, verse 17 through 20, it says, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will be no means passed from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called in the called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So far it sounds like we should be following law, the rules, the regulations. But then verse 20 happens and comes along. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will be by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You remember the Pharisees? They were the leaders of the church in that day, and they had a major focus on the external action, fulfilling the law. Well, that's what the scriptures just said. No, it says unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness. So what does that mean? Remember that one Pharisee who got up and was like, "Oh Lord, I'm so thankful I'm not that sinner like that guy over there." Very much about rules and regulations, very driven by that. No heart in the matter. If I'm obeying the rules to the letter of the law, I'm doing okay and I'm doing well and I'm doing what I'm supposed to. These are the same guys who Jesus called vipers and said they need to clean out the inside of the cup and not just have a pretty looking outside of the cup. This whole section and the following verses that deal with the idea that this life with Christ is a heart issue. When we have a heart after God, like Pastor Peter said on Sunday, it doesn't matter if we're perfect or had just made a mistake. If our heart is right, it matters where our heart is and where our direction is going. Because why? If we make a mistake, we're going to be turning toward God. We're going to be going to him and falling on our knees toward him and saying, "God, I just messed up." I'd rather have someone who is messing up and just saying, "God, I need help. I need to figure this out." Versus someone saying, "I'm not doing anything wrong and I'm so great. I'm not going to talk to God. I'm fine." That's a Pharisee. That's someone who's checking off the boxes, so to speak. The publican, the sinner, when the Pharisee was like, "Look, I'm not like this guy," that guy was just beat his chest and said, "Forgive me, I'm a sinner." No pompous prayer, just like, "God, I recognize where I'm at. I need you, God. I'm struggling here, God. I know you're the source of my strength and my help and my life." If we want to have a solid foundation, we have to have a heart that is directed toward Christ and not being worried about checking off the boxes. And so in Matthew 5, it goes on, same vein of thinking about it being a heart issue rather than a law issue, in six different areas. And I'm not going to go through each one, but anger is covered in verse 21 through 26. 27 through 30 is lust. 31 to 32 is divorce. 33 to 37 is oaths. 38 to 42 is retaliation. 43 through 48 is treating enemies. Man, if you want to be challenged, read verses 21 to 48 of Matthew chapter 5. It's tough. It's hard. That's not easy stuff in there. We love the law, folks. I mean, we are a rule-based society, a Western society, and so if you do this, you're okay. If you do that, you're not, and might get in trouble by the law, et cetera. And so mentally and conceptually, the law is very easy to go down that route. It's easy for us to line ourselves to the do's and don'ts of scriptures. I haven't killed anyone, so I'm good, right? I haven't killed anyone, God. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Check. I have not killed anyone. I'm good. But Jesus throws that away, and I'm just going to go into the anger portion here for a second just to give an example. Jesus throws that away, that way of living and thinking out the window. You may have not killed anyone, but have you murdered them in your heart? Do you avoid them, not talk to them? walk a different direction. And maybe that's outside the church. Maybe it's, hey, we've got a big sanctuary, so I know they sit over here. I won't even look over there because I don't want to be like offended by them by looking. So I'm just going to sit over here. I'm just joking to all those over here. I love every one of you. You may not have killed anyone, but have you murdered them in your heart? Sometimes that's our MO, the walking in a different direction. I want to have a good attitude, so I'm just going to walk away. What does Jesus say? He gets down and dirty. Go to them. Listen, if you got something in the church, and he's talking to church people, he's like, if you're going to bring your sacrifice to the altar, don't. So tonight, let's be practical and applicable in our lives. If you have something against someone or you're offended by someone, don't come down to this altar and pray. That's what the Bible says. What does it say? Oh, well, okay, just give up and just, no. Go to them. Yeah. It's hard conversations. But sometimes we have to have hard conversations. Why? To reconcile. Because we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? I just spent a weekend, and it's hilarious because it's memorializing my uncle who passed away, and it was out of control, like funny. We had so much fun. I mean, we haven't seen each other. And yes, I may have had a part with that, you know. But we had so much fun, my brother and sister. And it was like to the point of like dying laughing, gut hurting. And that's what brothers and sisters are about. And I'm thankful I have that relationship. I know not everyone has that. But that's a brotherhood, a sisterhood. And maybe you have that with someone in the church that you can relate to. That's what this church should be about. And so if you have some, when you see somebody like, just going to walk away. Don't come up here tonight. That's not me. That's Jesus. Again, a copyright claim. He spoke that. And that's the challenge. Because it's about living the law. Well, I'm not killing them. So God be happy. I didn't punch them in the face. I walked away. God has some really hard things for us. Go to them. And I'm not even going to get into the enemies. Yeah, love your enemies. Anyways, I told you I wasn't going to get into it. Read it. 21 through 48, you want to be challenged? Go home and read it. Take some time to see what God has to say about not checking off the boxes. The law says don't kill. The law says don't commit adultery. And the Bible says, but if you do this, it's just the same thing. It's the heart of the matter. If you want a solid foundation, you got to look at the heart of the matter, and not just check off the boxes. Let's move on to Matthew 6, chapter 6 now, 1 through 4. And this is in regards to giving. And we're talking about daily disciplines here, and there's a couple others. But giving first. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have not rewarded from your heart. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the streets. I just gave some money to the poor. Play the trumpets. I gave today. If anyone wants a trumpet player for your giving, when you put in the box, let me know. We won't accommodate you, but it'd be funny. We could have a button that you push out there, trumpet, and then we'll know that, oh, they need Matthew 6. Anyways, I'm just, woo. Assuredly, I say to you, I'm probably getting a text from my wife right now. Honey, stop. Assuredly, I say to you, men, they have their reward, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And then verses 5 through 15 go into praying. Verses 16 through 18 go into the concept of fasting in the same light of things. When we have a proper mindset about our daily devotions, that again, it's not about the checking the box. It's not about showing how great we are. And I prayed 30 minutes today. I pray 3 hours a day. Now, in the context of a teaching session where people are wanting to know about prayer and you are saying, hey, here's what I do in my life, that's a different story. But like parading it like, well, how many days have you fasted this month? Well, I fasted this. You know, like it talks about doing it in private. Why? Because that's what a relationship with Jesus comes from. If it's all about the show and all about what you do, it's not in the heart. And so having a proper spirit within our daily disciplines. It's about knowing God, drawing closer to Him, having the right spirit in all of it, and that's when the solid foundation will be built. Amen. Moving on in Matthew 6, skipping all the way down to 19 through 24, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Interesting, the common theme in these scriptures about the importance of the state of our heart. Amen. Moving on, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, where are your priorities? A proper placement of priorities is key. This talks about treasures, financial status. Folks oftentimes get a sense of stability from the financial realm. Be honest, I have in the past, and just, you know, I don't have to worry about that area, and there's some sort of sense of stability there. So this is very real to some folks, including myself, but I submit that this could apply to anything that's treasure, quote-unquote, to us. It could be health in which we put our treasure. Well, I'm healthy. I'm doing great. Our family, our position or influence. It could be as simple as words of affirmation. This popped up in my mind to me because this was me. In my own life, I realized many years ago that I was an affirmation junkie. I needed that fix. I've had to work very hard in this area because I asked myself one day, what if no affirmation comes? Will my world fall apart if no one says a nice thing to me? So I've had to align myself toward God through the years and what He thinks of me, getting scripture. And this has been something that has been an exercise in my life I've had to work on. And so what is the treasure in your life that you are placing a priority in? To sum up, no matter the area, we should have a priority placed in God. That's the source of a solid foundation. That is the source of solid foundation. Moving on, something that's building off this previous area about the proper placement of priorities comes the area of the proper placement of our trust. They go hand in hand. Because typically what we prioritize in our lives is what we also trust in our lives. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air," on and on and on. And it talks about how God will take care of you. And then in verse 31, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we prioritize career and finances over God, we'll trust in our career and finances. If we prioritize our health over God, we'll trust in our health. If we prioritize our family over God, we'll trust in our family. And if we prioritize in the positive words of others over God, we'll trust in those positive words. The same with any other area that we might prioritize. But the fact is that all of these things can fail us. Our jobs can fail us. My last job, my boss's wife had a stroke in August. In December, the door shut down. Why? He checked out and was like, "I got to take care of my wife." And business just tanked. And I was out of a job in 4 months. A great job that brought a lot of stability to me. And I felt really good about it. It can happen like that. Our health can fail us. People, including family, can fail us. And so, but Jesus will never fail us. If we trust in Him, Thou construct that solid foundation that's not going to be blown over by the storm in life. Amen.
So continuing on, here's a favorite scripture of folks in Matthew 7. We're now in Matthew 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. It's a favorite one for people to use against you. You're like, well, don't judge me. The Bible says it. Well, again, just to reiterate that concept, the Bible's written to me, not to you when I'm reading it. And when you're reading it, it's written to you, not me. So you can't say, well, this is what this says, so you should do it. No, that's what it says, so you do it. And trust and pray God works on my heart. Amen. Anyways, moving on. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And it continues on, verse 6. What is this passage saying? How is a solid foundation constructed? In summary, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Be introspective. Run a self-analysis against the Word of God. Are there areas for me to grow in, to change, to remove, to tweak? When we're willing to look at ourselves, you know what? That's when God shows up and can show us what to change, and our foundation gets stronger. If we're not willing to look, you know, this world right now is all about the other person. Like, well, you're this and that. Look at yourself. You know, we've had some discourse here over the past year and a half. Well, they're not doing this. Well, what are you doing? Or, they're wanting me to do this. Well, what are you doing? Stop focusing so much on the other person and focus. Look in the mirror and say, God, what is the best attitude I should have when I go to church or when I go to work or when I'm in my neighborhood? What should I do instead of judging everybody? Amen? Amen. Be introspective. It's when we think we have everything all together and begin to look down on the lives of others. That's when our lives start to get shaky. But we should not focus on others, but focus on our own growth opportunities. And we'll grow, and we'll get a solid foundation. Amen. And then as Jesus begins to wrap up his sermon in chapter 7, things begin to intertwine, come to a conclusion. And if we're prioritizing God in our lives, we're trusting him, we're wanting to look inwardly for areas to grow, then the naturally next area is found in verse 7. It says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Of what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Ask, seek, and knock. Not really steps that are difficult in and of themselves, but it requires us to lay aside our pride and admit we don't know the answer. And so we have to ask. Asking is not the hard part. It's admitting that we need to ask is the difficult thing and the challenge. It requires commitment to seek after something so that we will find. If you have a question about the Word of God and how it applies to you, that takes commitment to say, okay, I'm going to dig this out. God can bring a revelation with one scripture, but sometimes he's like, you know what? I did say study to show thyself approved, so I'm study. Get in the Word. And it takes a commitment to study until God speaks to our hearts. It requires humility to be the one who knocks at the door. Man, well, he should come to me and knock. And I'll let him in. And I'll, yeah, come on, God. But we have to knock. And we have to say, again, it's humility. Like, I need something, God. That's the challenging part. It's not the knocking. It's the humility it requires. But we're promised that when we ask, we'll be given. When we seek, we'll find. When we knock, the door will open. And the foundation gets a little more solid in our lives as those answers come, as we find what we're seeking, and the doors open. Amen. And then point number 9, Matthew 7:13 through 15, it says, through 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. If you didn't hear Pastor Jessica's message from last week, if you weren't here, go and listen to it. If you were here, go back and listen to it again, because that really just fleshes the next two points out. We need to contend for the faith. Not everyone's going to think the way we do, and so we've got to contend for it. It's a narrow way. It's a small path, and so we have to make sure we have truth in our life. Make sure we're not listening to the broad voice that's out there. And I'm not going to rehash that message last week. But she also went into this next area in verse 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, that inwardly that are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We need to beware of the voices in our lives. Again, reiterating from last week, go listen to it. It was a great, powerful message, challenging message. Beware of those voices that could lead us astray. When we contend for the faith, we're building a solid foundation that won't waver. Amen? Amen. And then lastly, to wrap it all up, kind of circles back around. Like any good presentation, he echoes the beginning of the opening, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Church, we need to know Jesus. Attending church doesn't mean we know him. Volunteering at church doesn't mean we know him. Doing right doesn't mean we know him. Ministering doesn't mean we know him. We've got to have a I must know him attitude in our lives. If we do, well, I'll let Jesus say it again, verses 24 through 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. If you would stand with me and the musicians come up. How's that solid foundation built? Have a relationship with Jesus. Understand certain behaviors and actions influence that foundation. Focus on who we are in the world, the salt, the light. Not focusing on the trivial, but on what's important. It's not about the law, the do's and don'ts, but about the heart and the direction we're heading. Have the proper spirit and an approach to our disciplines about just getting into it and trusting the process. It's not about the show, but our relationship with God. Having a proper placement of our priorities. And what should that be? It should be God as number one priority. The proper placement of our trust will follow. And should be on, yep, God, trusting him in all things. Stop concerning, number eight, concerning ourselves with others, but focusing inwardly on our areas of growth. Humbling ourselves and continuing to ask, seek, and knock. Contending for the faith. Being aware of the voices that can lead us astray. And lastly, once again, knowing God. So if something didn't, I believe something stuck out to every single one of us tonight that God wants us to explore and really work on in our lives. But if not, start with number nine and humble yourself and ask him. God, what in this is leading to a shaky foundation? Why do I have fear, God? We were just challenged and admonished Sunday. Fear not. Well, just because we say fear not and come on, we should not fear, that doesn't mean that inside there's still some fear. So what of these may be a little leading to a little shakiness in yourself? What in these is leading to that, I don't know if I'd survive a storm? Because we can have assurance if we do these sayings of mine, hear them and do them. It's going to be like a man who built on the rock. Winds came, the storms came, and it's just like, all right, I'm chilling inside. I'm good. You know, I might lose some shingles or, you know, wind might blow the shutters back and rip one off. But you know what? I'm not going anywhere. And it's just a cycle, because then people are like, you're the salt and light of the world again, because you're like, yeah, you know what? God's going to take care of me. God's going to go, well, what about this and this and this and this? You know what? My foundation's solid. So if I want to encourage you, we can have a solid foundation. Again, I echo what Joel said. Fear not. We don't have to fear because there's a foundation we can have. And so if we do and we have that, that's okay. That's natural in all of what's going on. But ask yourself and tonight, what God do I need to shore up in my life? And he'll show you. He'll show you. Ask and you will find. Seek, ask and he will answer. Seek and you'll find. Knock, the door will open. Amen. So as they begin to sing tonight, I want to encourage you to find a place to pray. Except if you have aught against your brother, I'm going to say it again, go to them. I challenge you. I challenge. Double dog dare you. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. Don't come up here. Seriously. It's going to be fruitless. And maybe that's what I read in Scripture. So leave the altar and go to your brother. You don't need to make it a big ordeal, but just say, hey, I got something I've been holding on my heart. Please forgive me. If that's what you need to do, maybe you need to do that first, but then come to this altar and let's pray. Amen. One, we come to pray tonight.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever sing. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Praise God. One of the great things about building our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ is that He never changes. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says He's the same. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Please remember, ladies, bonfire, 8:30 to 10:30. Talk to Sister Lindsay. If you have any questions or if you need details, contact her. Amen. Otherwise, we'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you. Be a light. Be salt. The world needs you. In Jesus' name.